Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hello, America, and happy Tuesday. Really glad to be with you. We've got a couple of great guests today. We're going to start our Newsday in Israel with Ambassador Michael Oren, the former Israeli ambassador to the United States. He's going to give us the latest update on the Hamas peace deal that wasn't. Boy, the news media fell for that one. The increasing escalations on the northern side by Hezbollah, push, of course, funded by Iran, and what's going on in Rafah with the Israeli plan to roust Hamas from Rafah and finish the war in free Palestine from Hamas. That's going to be a great conversation. In the second part of the show, we're going to talk to Brandon Arnold at the National Taxpayers Union. Why? Because today the IRS director was up on the Hill asking for $100 billion more to pursue taxpayers like you and me on top of the $60 billion they just got, right? So you keep getting all of this money on a regular basis, and people are wondering, what's it going for? And why aren't they going after the big guys? And why, if they've got so much money, why did Hunter Biden get away with not paying his taxes for years and years until the whistleblowers came out? Those are real questions. Well, we're going to ask all of that to Brandon Arnold. So we got a great show today. Now, before we get to that, I want to shout out one of our great partners, but I also want to shout out some impact we had today and go over a couple headlines. First, breaking news headlines. Today, Stormy Daniels testified. It was painfully grotesque. It was extraordinarily tawdry. It's shocking that the judge allowed the testimony in. It was all prejudicial. It had nothing to do about the payments. It had to do with her description of sex acts. The Trump people moved for a mistrial. They were turned down. We'll see if that becomes a major issue in the aftermath of this case. It's a very big and important decision there. Meanwhile, last night, some major impact from news that we broke here first at Just the News and on this podcast. Friday night, I reported that Jack Smith, the prosecutor in the two federal prosecutions against Donald Trump, had gone to the court in Florida, Judge Eileen Cannon, and acknowledged that they had jumbled evidence, they had tampered with evidence, they had tainted evidence by allowing the order of some of the classified document boxes to get jumbled in violation of the normal rules of evidence. They also misled the court about it for a period of time. Well, late last night, Congressman Jim Jordan, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, announced he is launching an investigation. He's going right at Jack Smith. He wants answers. He wants to know how something so basic as evidentiary preservation couldn't be done in a special counsel who is very well funded. Those are big questions, and we're going to talk a lot about that in the coming days. Hopefully, we're going to get Jim Jordan on the show pretty soon. But those are some real impacts from Just the News reporting. Really excited about that. Now, a quick shout out to one of our many great strategic partners. I like these guys particularly. They have a lot of former FBI officials with them. They've hired people who were home thieves, and I'll describe what that means in a second, to advise them how to stop it. People who are reformed criminals who came in and said, hey, I love this. What am I talking about? Home title lock. And the reason I like it so much is that there's a new report recently on homeowners show that they have $16 trillion in equity here in America. $16 trillion. It's an all-time high. It's the single largest asset most Americans have in their portfolio, their net worth. But what if a criminal could and do often steal your home right from under your home by changing the title to their name, then taking out a loan, running off the cash, and leaving you with the debt, stealing your equity, stealing the title to your home? That's called home title theft. And these scammers are doing this in regular order. It's easier than ever before to steal a home online because all of our deeds are online, all our trusts are online. So you have to protect your equity from this despicable crime And you should do it right now. How do you do it? With triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title, see if it's still in your name, sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com, and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS, and they will send you a complete title scan of your home's title, and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection is going to be free. You don't get anything free in the Biden economy tape. So go to HomeTitleLock.com, use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. Stop the bad guys in the tracks. Protect your biggest asset. Protect your home. Don't let someone steal your equity through a digital crime that's become so much more common. We call it house stealing. All right, we'll be back with Michael Oren right after these messages. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health, or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit, and it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. So much has happened in the last 48 hours in the war in Israel against Hamas, against the terrorists, against the atrocities of October 7th, from rockets from the north to a head fake peace agreement that Hamas announced without any Israeli agreement, to the constant worries about what's the next phase of the war. And also, will the Biden administration stand behind our longest and most important ally in the Middle East? To make sense of that big bowl of soup, we're going to bring in one of the best and most learned people I know in the Middle East on Israel, on U.S.-Israeli relations. He is the former ambassador from Israel to the United States, one of the most respected diplomats in this world, my good friend Michael Oren. Mr. Ambassador, good to have you back on.
Good to be back. That's quite an assignment there, John.
You're up for the task. I'm certain of it.
massive. Okay, but where to begin? Well, let's begin with the South. Let's begin with happening with Gaza. Okay, so Israel, in a very controversial move for the government, tabled a proposal. That proposal was that Hamas would release 33 hostages. That's down from 40, with the understanding on the part of Israel that Hamas probably doesn't have 40 hostages that would meet the criteria of people who are old, infirm, women who are not soldiers, 33. In return, a 40-day ceasefire, the return of many Palestinian civilians to the northern part of the Gaza Strip, and the release of a very large number of Palestinian prisoners, some of them with blood on their hands, Israeli blood on their hands, from Israeli jails. Now, that offer was described by Secretary of State Antony Blinken as extraordinarily generous. Hamas rejected it because Hamas figures, Mr. Sinwar, is the head of Hamas in the Gaza Strip, understands that the Biden administration is saying to Israel that it cannot go into Rafah under any conditions. So with the United States seemingly restraining Israel, and the only means Israel has of effecting pressure on Hamas is by going into Rafah, Sinwar can sit pretty and it could afford to reject it. Then Hamas did something just remarkably cruel, miserable, and clever. That's what they do because they are evil, but they're not stupid. They shelled the border crossing through which much of the aid goes through. All right, it's called the Horn of Peace, believe it or not, Keren Shalom. And they killed four Israeli soldiers. They killed four Israeli soldiers on our side of the border, which was reminiscent of October 7th, not in Gaza. And what Israel had to do was to close that border, which meant aid was not going into Gaza anymore. And already the UN started complaining about a famine, and the United States begins to pressure Israel to reopen that border crossing, even though it's going to jeopardize the lives of our soldiers, because it was shelled again today by Hamas. So again, they're not stupid. What they do is they're going to create a humanitarian disaster in Gaza, and the world's going to forget why that crossing was closed, and they'll blame Israel. And more pressure will put on Israel to agree to a ceasefire without any preconditions, an unlimited ceasefire. So Israel began to move troops into Rafah. They took over the border area separating Egypt from Gaza, the Rafah crossing, because that is where all the arms, all the guns, and all the rocket-propelled grenades get smuggled in. So it was extremely important, and Israel began to mount surgical strikes in Rafah, which is actually in keeping with Biden's request that we only have surgical strikes and not sort of a major offensive. And Hamas began to get a little nervous. So Hamas then tabled its own proposal, and it didn't table it to Israel. It gave it to Egypt and to Qatar. There's some complaints in Israel that the United States knew about it and didn't tell us about it. And what that proposal says is it's an unlimited ceasefire. Basically, Hamas wins the war. It'll give back hostages, but only in return for Israel saying, listen, we lost, we're pulling out all of our troops, and Hamas can take over the Gaza Strip again and launch its next attack against Israel. So, of course, Israel's not going to accept that, but there's going to be certain people in the world, and you can imagine who is going to say, hey, listen, Hamas is ready to deal. Why are you attacking Rafah? Very clever. Meanwhile, in the north, two soldiers killed yesterday, massive bombardments from Hezbollah. And it does not seem to me in any way that the United States and or France, both of the countries are trying to mediate in the north, have the leverage on Hezbollah to get Hezbollah to withdraw under fire north of the Litani River. That's about 10 miles from our border. So what a situation. Very grievous. And there's 20 things going on in the international region as well. The Palestinian Authority trying to get recognition of an independently declared Palestinian state through the United Nations and the Security Council, and the International Criminal Court threatening to publish extradition orders, arrest warrants for Prime Minister Netanyahu and other Israeli officials. All of that in a couple of days.
Pretty remarkable. And in the middle of that is a United States that in past generations would have been able to navigate this with authority, often navigating from behind or navigating with a confused and mumbled message. One message that wasn't confusing is the threats that they might soon, if Israel proceeded with the Rafah incursion, cut off U.S. aid to Israel, even though Congress just approved it. How harmful would that be to the relationship, and does Israel have other contingencies should the U.S. stiffen on equipment and money?
Well, there are already reports that the United States is now holding up the delivery of essential munitions, especially artillery shells, tank shells, and what's known as JDAMs. These are our fighter-launched ground missiles with telescopic lenses, So the JDAMs are very, very important in warfare today. So that's already happening. It's not a cutoff, but it's a delay. The United States is denying it. We should say that. But Israeli security officials are being very adamant that this is what's happening. It's not going to impact Israel's sort of short-term calculus, certainly about going into Rafah. It's going to it may affect our long-term calculus with regard to Hezbollah, because Hezbollah is not a tactical threat. It's a strategic threat. And you're talking about 150 to 170,000 rockets, many accurate, many heavier rockets, that are buried under 200 Lebanese villages. The IDF will have to go village to village, house to house. That's a tremendous amount of ordnance will be required to eliminate or even reduce the Hezbollah rocket threat. So that could have an impact on our calculus, especially as other countries join in and take their cue from the United States. And other countries have done that. Britain already, Canada, talking about cutting back aid. Canada's actually cut out aid. It's a small portion of Israel's defense outlay, but Canada's already done that. So people are taking their cue from Washington and taking their cue on other issues, too. Certainly on the question of whether Israel would be deemed a war criminal or accused of genocide in the world by the International Criminal Court. The administration has said repeatedly that Israel has acted inhumanely toward the Palestinians. It's killed too many Palestinians. It's bombed indiscriminately and now intentionally causing famine. What does that all amount to? It could be exhibit A, B, and C in one of these court cases. So it's not an easy situation for us vis-a-vis the administration. On the other hand, the administration has just voted through Congress, signed a bill with $26 billion worth of aid, and has so far blocked the attempts of the Palestinians to unilaterally declare a state in the Security Council, and appears to be poised to block International Criminal Court proceedings against Israeli leaders. We shall see.
Yeah, these are big moments and moments that will have a big impact on history. I want to go to the notion that the Palestinians are trying to declare themselves a state. It doesn't meet a lot of the conformities of international law. There are going to be some complications if Palestine continues down this path, even if the UN gets involved, correct?
Yes, true. I mean, it will be a violation of the 1993 Oslo Accords, where the Palestinians committed in writing not to seek a unilateral Palestinian state, but to do so through negotiations with the Israelis and the United States. So there may be defunding issues on the American side, but the danger here is that, people say that Israel's an occupation of the West Bank, what we call Judea and Samaria. For an independent state to occupy a territory that was never before part of a sovereign state, that's a certain status in international law. But if it's a state occupying another state, it puts us in a different category and exposes Israel to further International Criminal Court proceedings that we are legally occupying another state.
Yeah.
That's the danger.
You don't see it written much in the media, but it's a very important dynamic for long-term international law. The state of the Israeli-U.S. relationship, right? So we know all of the moves, and it just moves in and out. Is there a different dynamic behind the scenes in the posturing that maybe the Biden administration does very publicly sometimes with leaks and statements and there. But is Biden more committed to Israel behind the scenes than it seems like he is publicly, or what we hear publicly really a reflection of the relationship behind the scenes?
Well, I think it's not a black and white situation. I think I know Joe Biden very well. And I know he's deeply committed to Israel, committed to the relationship, committed to the security. But an administration is not one individual, John. The administration is thousands of people. And I know other people in that administration who don't share those views. And they have influence. And yes, there's also the political consideration. What's happening in swing states like Michigan and Nevada and Pennsylvania. And the fear that this Palestine issue, or the Gaza issue, will tip the balance, which is already, very kind of neck and neck. As you know, an interesting poll came out from Axios today. I don't know if you saw it. It was a poll taken of students across the United States, and it found that only 8% of students care about the Palestinian issue and would ever participate in a protest. It is the last place of issues that students care about out of 9 issues. And 81% of American students would like to see the protesters punished. So I wonder if people – I sometimes question the political wisdom of some of these positions, whether it's actually going to redound to anybody's benefit or to anybody's detriment. And by that poll, it's to the detriment.
Yeah. There's another player in that dynamic is the media has given a lot of attention to something that the American people don't think deserves attention. They don't think it's right. I mean, they obviously want repudiation for the violence and the hate and the intimidation, but giving these agitators free publicity is probably something most Americans don't want. So the media's coverage has been very important, not only to the protests, but also and sometimes skewing the debate. Someone said on the show, TV show last night, the couple that just made this new play in New York called October 7. It's based on their interview with survivors. And they said that most of the media covers the Hamas war like it began on October 8th. Do you sometimes feel that way, that the atrocities of the 7th get a backseat to the sympathies for the Palestinians?
It's not even a backseat. They're not even in the car.
That's a good point.
They've been completely forgotten. And they've really forgotten it. And in the degree that they're not forgotten, they're accused of being fabricated, the product of AI. Okay, so that I wish they were just wish forgotten. No. They're actually adduced as Exhibit A against us, and because we fabricate all these stories of rape and immolation and beheadings and kidnapping. We fabricated it. I just wonder whether this whole media attention is a boomerang. So I have a Substack newsletter. It's called Clarity. And by the way, any of your listeners can certainly subscribe to it. It's free, and I write about twice a week. And I had an article, I guess, just over a week ago about the campus situations. And in the last paragraph, I noted it was a comparison between 1968 and today. And there, starts at Columbia, spreads to other campuses. It eventually reaches a climax at the Chicago National Convention. And of course, the convention this year is in Chicago. And there are lots of contrasts too. 1968 was about peace. This is about pro-war. The 68 revolts had many prominent Jewish leaders. These revolts are anti-Semitic. But the one comparison is interesting. In 1968, the image that the Democratic Party was incapable of containing the chaos on the streets was instrumental in procuring the victory for Richard Nixon. And by focusing on this chaos, I think the media is doing a great disservice to the Biden administration. I think it's a boomerang. They think they're doing something else, but it's not.
The parallels to 68 are growing too. I mean, Bernie Sanders yesterday said this is Biden's Vietnam. There is just a real sense that maybe this is a spiraling into a political nightmare that Democrats imposed on themselves and liberals imposed on themselves. It's so fascinating. What is it that the U.S. and the American people can do to make sure that Israel prevails in this struggle against what is really a true evil enemy? What do we need to, beyond what the media tells us, beyond what the op-eds and the talk shows and the presidents and the Congress talk about, what are the most important things that Israel could get from the United States right now that would make a difference in prevailing?
Okay, that is simple. And that is continued supply of vital ammunition, what I call the diplomatic Iron Dome, which is ensuring that that we are protected from ICC and Security Council actions, and to give us the ability to pressure Hamas through acting militarily in the last redoubt of the Hamas leadership in Rafah, and Israel will do its utmost, as we always do, to minimize civilian casualties. But this is what I would like your listeners to keep in mind. In this country, this little bastion of democracy in an environment which is just unspeakably hostile to democracy and to freedom, you have 360,000 Israelis reporting for military duty, for reserve duty. And 360,000 Israelis would be the equivalent of about 20 million Americans. That's more Americans than fought in all World War II. And where do you find in the world a people that's willing to pick up arms, like the Minutemen, right? Like the men to pick up arms and leave their families, leave their homes, leave their jobs to go out and fight, knowing there's a good chance they're not coming back or not coming back in the same way. And where are you going to find that? And this is your ally. And they don't make allies like that in the world, because no one's going to go out and fight for Belgium. And no one's going to go out and fight for other countries in Europe either, not to give their lives for their countries. So you don't make allies like this. And you have to really, you have to treasure it and protect it and do everything you can to make sure we win.
Yeah, that is such an important message, and it sometimes gets muddled in our conversations here on this side of the ocean. I want to turn to a couple of other subjects. There are these reports that that there was an assassination attempt on the Saudi crown prince. I've been told those aren't true. There were some skirmishes, but they weren't related to an assassination attempt, according to sources close to the royal family. But it's a reminder, as is the rocket attack that was so deadly on Sunday from the north, that Iran is meddling in so many different places in the world. They're destabilizing in so many ways. Have you sensed any change in the Biden administration's tolerance for Iran? And is there potentially a policy shift ahead for Joe Biden, or will he stay where he is until after the election?
That's a big question. I mean, certainly Iran has done this for a long time. I was the target of an attempted assassination in Washington, D.C. They're going to kill the Israeli ambassador and the Saudi ambassador in downtown Washington, really, because the Iranians are simply not afraid. And the Biden administration, you know, American forces have been the targets of close to 200 attacks by pro-Iranian, Iranian-supplied militias in the Middle East, and nobody has fired a bullet at Iran in retaliation. And so it remains to be seen. As clearly the United States is willing to stand by Israel and other allies in defending their skies, as they did several weeks ago when Iran fired 350 projectiles at us, the United States, along with Jordan, along with France, Britain, were instrumental in taking down those missiles. And that was very important. But taking defense, you don't win any sport game by only by defense, right? And you're not going to deter Iran only by defensive measures. It's for those of us of a certain generation will remember rope-a-dope.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rope-a-dope Muhammad without the final right jab. It's like
that's
just
the winner
without the final right jab. Yeah, it's the winner. And so the Biden administration would have to do something very, very difficult. They have to say that our policy in our party, going back to 2009, the first week of the Obama administration, the first foreign policy measure he undertook was to try to achieve a reconciliation with Iran. We have to say that 15 years of policymaking did not work, and we are moving from attempts at reconciliation to confrontation and kinetic active confrontation. And not easy to do. I don't know. Maybe if he wins, he'll do it in the second term. I don't know. But it has not been. It's basically coming out and saying, "Listen, we made a mistake," and that's hard for any politician to do.
Yeah, no, it is. It's no doubt. And Mr. Ambassador, you do such a great work, and your wisdom. I think just the common sense way you lay these things out. If facts are the starting point for getting the right resolutions. Oftentimes, we're denied the facts. Is there frustration in Israel in the way that the American news media is treating not only Israel, but Hamas, Palestine, the protests on the campus? When I talk to my friends in Israel, there seems to be a growing frustration that there's just not a fair shake. There's not a fair portrayal of the facts. Is that widely viewed in the Israeli population right now?
Yeah, I think many Israelis feel that the media is kind of working in the service of Hamas. Because Hamas knows it can't defeat us militarily, but it can get the world to impose a ceasefire on us. And that means Hamas will win and will come out of its tunnels and declare victory and reassert its control over Gaza and rearm and launch the next attack against us. That's what they want. How do they do that? By inflaming public opinion against us. And so it happens in so many different ways. I'll give the most obvious way would be the way the press repeats ad infinitum, ad nauseum. The Hamas fatality figures, which go up. Like, by the way, they go up at sort of like an even number every couple of days, which is statistically impossible. They say that most of those people hurt or killed are women and children. That's statistically impossible. There's no men in the Gaza Strip. But more to the point, and that number includes the Palestinian terrorists killed by Israel. It includes the Palestinians killed by Palestinian rockets that fall short, about 30% of them fall short. It actually, believe it or not, includes the people who die by natural means. You know, in a population of 2.5 million over 7 months, about 4,000 people will die of natural means. All of that, if you deduct all of those, you get a situation of close to 1-to-1, one combatant for every civilian killed. Every civilian casualty is a tragedy, is too much, but That number is a world record in modern warfare. And I don't see anybody in the press saying that. Anybody's saying that, you know, the Israeli army has achieved a ratio which is at the very least a quarter of what the Americans, Americans achieved, it might be the wrong word, Americans achieved in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria, which was between one combatant every four civilians killed or one combatant every nine civilians killed. So it's much better. So that repeating that number itself is a Hamas interest, and it generates pressure on Israel to agree to a ceasefire. We see it now, how it works all the time. When you have world leaders quoting that number, disastrous.
Really amazing. Final little breaking news that just occurred. House Speaker Mike Johnson just sent a letter to Joe Biden saying holding up aid to Israel defies the intent of the bill we just sent and that you, Mr. President, just signed. It seemed like there's going to be a political hammer in Congress, perhaps aimed at the White House until they deliver the aid that Congress get. Is that helpful to have Congress speak so clearly?
Yes, it is. And more than that, Congress has made a commitment to Israel. It's called QME. Qualitative military edge, where in the United States, the Congress commits to ensure that Israel can defend itself by itself against any Middle East adversary or any combination of Middle East adversaries. It's very difficult to uphold our qualitative military edge if you're withholding or delaying the supply of vital munitions during a war.
Really, really great point. Well, that just happened a few moments ago. Washington buzzing about that letter just a few seconds ago. So pretty good stuff. As always, Mr. Ambassador, it's a great honor to have you on the show. We learn a lot. We come away smarter. And for that, we're always grateful. Folks, also be sure to check out the Ambassador's many books. He's one of my favorite authors. Your latest, remind me the latest one that you have, Mr. Ambassador, right now.
It's called Israel 2048. It's a vision of Israel on our 100th birthday. But the Substack, I think the Clarity newsletter, you're really getting about two articles, fresh articles that you're not going to read anywhere else. You get them, and it's free. So thank you.
Really great stuff. I had one over the weekend. It was Shield of Palestine and the Shield of David. Just a really, really profound article, a great reading and lots of wisdom. So folks, go check it out. It's really easy. Just go to claritywithmichaeloren.substack. That's how you get that. Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much. We are always grateful for the time you make for us. We have a lot of fun.
Thank you for support and your wisdom.
Yeah, back at you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Brandon Arnold from the National Taxpayers Union up next to talk about the IRS's outrageous request to Congress. Give me another $100 billion so I can chase more Americans. We'll have that right after these messages.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. A lot of headlines on just the news over the last few days that remind us a little bit about the state of our economy, the state of our negligence in dealing with excessive spending, and now the consequences of that excessive and continued stubborn inflation. I thought we'd bring in one of our great experts, one of the great advocates for the American taxpayer. They don't get often mentioned in this town. It's usually everybody else but the taxpayer. Brandon Arnold, Executive Vice President for the National Taxpayers Union, joins us right now. We're going to go through some important headlines. Brandon, great to have you back on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
We have the IRS commissioner up on Capitol Hill, and I want to turn to him in a second because he's got his hand out for even more money. I'm sure Americans are excited about that. But I want to start with the ticking time bomb that every year Congress kicks down the road. I've been in this town 34 years, and we've kicked this can down the road every time, despite commissions and studies and promises. Social Security benefits are going to be cut. starting in 2035, unless Congress finally acts, the trustees reported yesterday. Amazing that one of the most popular and most important sustenance programs in America just keeps getting ignored. But we'll spend lots of money helping Chinese battery makers get a foothold in the United States. Is this Piper about to be paid, whether we like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, something needs to be done. It is really, really frustrating to hear politicians saying, oh, this is not a problem for us. We can just ignore this. We want to protect Social Security, and then doing nothing about it. It requires a tremendous amount of courage, a tremendous amount of political will to actually roll up your sleeves and fix these programs. And we just haven't seen that level of commitment from any kind of politician, be it Republicans or Democrats alike. And as a result, as you note, we could be facing huge benefit cuts in less than 10 years. It could be a 20% cut to benefits that people are receiving right now in 20 years. And that's affecting not just current retirees, but of course, people in their late 50s right now have to be very, very concerned about the state of these programs and the red ink that is just going to consume them if we don't do something about it.
Yeah, it's a great point. And you make a very good point. This is a bipartisan issue of neglect. It's it didn't matter who's in the White House, who's been in control of Congress. We've just been kicking it down. But if you're about my age right now, I'm 57, this is going to hit me right around my retirement age. These are the sort of things that I think people really are starting to just digest for the first time. Have you found anyone in Congress? Is there anyone that is the lone wolf crying or trying to make some gesture? And a second thing, I've heard a lot of people, when I go out and talk in the real world, you go out and you visit people and outside the Beltway, you hear people say, you know, if they just cut 10% of the budget, I'd be thrilled. And if they took 5% of the savings and put it towards Social Security, Medicare to do the responsible thing, I'd even be happier. If people in the real world can figure things out, like spending cuts or the way we solve this, is there anyone in Washington picking up those signals?
Not a lot of people, I'll be honest with you. I wish I had happier news on that front. You know, the chairman of the Budget Committee, Jody Arrington, a conservative from Texas, has been very good about reaching across the aisle because, honestly, this is not a problem that can be fixed on a partisan basis. You're not going to have the amount of durability to any policy reforms, even if you're able to sneak them across the finish line. If you don't have Democratic buy-in, they'll just be quickly undone. So Jody Arrington has been advocating a fiscal commission, which I think is a great idea. It's an imperfect idea, let's be honest, but all ideas are imperfect. But I think it's a really good idea for raising the profile of this issue. And obviously, it's not just entitlements that are in crisis right now. We have a spending problem across the board. But this is the biggest, the most acute one, and the one that will impact Americans in the most profound and direct way if it's not addressed, as we're talking about 9, 10, 12 years from now. Huge cuts to Social Security, huge cuts to Medicare that will really cripple our seniors if we don't address it. So Jody Arrington's been talking about this fiscal commission. Of course, whenever you talk about third rail programs like Social Security, as soon as you pop your head up out of that foxhole, you start drawing fire from left and the right. And that has certainly happened to him and other folks, including Speaker Johnson, who has been very open to this type of conversation. So we need to support those folks. We need to support them, even if we have concerns about the fiscal commission, even if we're not 100% there. People that are willing to actually put courageous ideas on the table need to be supported. We can modify those as we go, but we need to support folks like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. The demagoguery on this issue is one of the reasons why it's always kicked down the time. People just get tired of getting demagogued on it because the first thing they say, they're going to cut your Social Security benefits. The answer is no, we're just trying to fix the fund. And there's a lot of ways to fix it. But the demagoguery has, in all the years I've been here, I've watched more demagoguery on this issue than almost anything else. And it's really to the disservice of the American people who trust these programs, want these programs, and would prefer these be right-sided more than some of the government spending we do today. Danny Werfel, always a colorful guy, goes up to Capitol Hill today. He's got his hand out. Yes, the IRS wants more money, more staff, more people to go after Americans. I've heard more and more everyday Americans complain to me, like, you know, I owe a few thousand dollars and they're all over me now, pushing me. There seems to be a growing resentment of the IRS at sort of the really most basic customer level, which is the everyday American taxpayer. Will word that they want more money to do more of this sit well with the American people?
Yeah, I sure hope not. I mean, they're asking for not just a little bit of money here. We just gave them $80 billion. And I was opposed to that, obviously, as I know you are. in the Inflation Reduction Act. And Republicans, to their great credit, were able to trim back a little bit of that, more than a little, $20 billion, which is great. And that was taken from the enforcement budget, which is the appropriate thing to do. But now Danny Werfel is back before Congress today asking for a $100 billion plus up to the IRS budget. And that's over 10 years. But they have not demonstrated the ability to use those funds responsibly. You know, one of the pots of money that actually do support the IRS getting is funds to improve customer service, to treat taxpayers in a fair manner, to answer the phones when people have questions, to modernize their system, because right now they're using IT that is literally decades old. So they need to modernize that. We need a modern IRS that's responsive to taxpayer inquiries so we don't make mistakes on our taxes and we don't have to face the potential audits down the road. But they take this money and they do with it what they choose, and that is including creating a whole tax filing system that was not authorized by Congress.
I want to dig into that.
Yeah.
That's a big one, isn't it? I mean, this was the thing. Yeah, Inflation Reduction Act, they said, study it, right? Instead of studying it, then they just go build it without any real understanding of cost or whether we even needed it, right? There's a question of whether we need it.
Yes, there's a huge question because there's a lot of private tools out there, and the majority of people can access them on a free basis. There's a public-private partnership called FreeFile that people can take advantage of. So Congress said, go out and study this. Tell us how much it costs. Tell us if people want this or not. They did a survey whether people wanted it or not. They didn't fully assess the cost, and then they went ahead and built it. Complete contradiction to what the law said. So that's the problem. If you don't tell IRS to do something precisely, exactly, they're just going to take that money and do whatever the heck they want with it. And that was the case here. They've launched this new system that they say is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think there are a lot of existing programs. There's literally a dozen or so programs out there that people can use. There's taxpayer services. You can go to a physical office, bring all of your paperwork in, have somebody help you with your taxes. So it's just incredibly frustrating to see them act in contrast with what the law said when we have really important needs at the IRS. Like I said, modernizing our system, improving the customer service experience over there, and they're burning through that money and already saying that they need more. It's just a complete and total mess.
They just have a long record, right? I mean, there's computer monetizations that went awry. The people who are charged with making sure we're good stewards of our tax dollars that we pay them often aren't good stewards of using our tax dollars. Is there an appetite, you think, particularly if there was a wave election, to possibly have a significant reform of the FBI, not a small or of the IRS, not a small reform, but a big one, something that would be transformative to the customer service element of this, to the ability to manage their own money. It's got to be one of the, I know it's one of the least popular agencies in America for all the reasons that are obvious, but customer service and being bad stewards of funds should be something that's fixable.
I think people are waking up to that problem, John. So I do think there's an increasing appetite for doing something of that variety. Thus far, the Republican approach, the IRS has, you know, done countless horrible things out there. They've leaked private taxpayer information. They've had private information that sat on their website for literally months, and they wouldn't take it down despite people complaining about it. The list goes on and on. Lois Lerner, we know the stories. The Republican response has been, well, let's cut their budget. Let's cut their budget to punish them. And while I agree with that, I think we need a lot more than just cutting their budget. We need that comprehensive type of reform. We need to go in there and make sure the IRS is doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is to help people file their taxes, protect private information, when necessary, conduct audits, but not go on wild goose chases as they've done time and time again. We need to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and not just giving them more money or simply just cutting their budget without a real mind for what the impact of that will be. I think we're working on that at National Taxpayers Union, as you'll be shocked to hear. We're trying to find the ways to reform the IRS to make it work for the American people instead of to be used as an ideological cudgel or, you know, to go off again on these wild goose chases that don't benefit anybody.
It's so amazing. And there's so many people that feel this way. And every time something else adds to the feeling, adds to the body of evidence, there's a collective body of inaction in Washington, which has to really affect people. you guys do so much extraordinary work every day. And for people who want to stay in touch with the studies, the solutions, because you're developing solutions, not just identifying problems, what's the best way to stay in touch with all the great work you're doing?
Well, obviously, our website, ntu.org, please check that out. We're on all of the social media out there, Twitter, X, whatever it's called these days, Facebook. We put a lot of videos up. This will hopefully be up on our YouTube page soon, so you subscribe to that, like all of the videos and audio that you see there. We'd love to be in touch with your listeners. We love the work that you do as well, John, and we'd be happy to be in touch to answer any questions that folks have and do whatever we can to advance this important cause.
When I first came to town a very long time ago, I first met Pete Sepp early in my career, and the work that NTU has done that I've been able to take advantage of as a reporter, because it's factual, it's common sense, it's rooted in reality as opposed to sometimes the political shenanigans that go on, has been really beneficial. It's such a remarkable, remarkable organization. And of course, Brandon, you're a big part of that. That's why we're so lucky to get you on all of our shows so often. Thanks for joining us today. Good stuff today.
It is my pleasure as always.
Yeah, good to have you. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up headlines for the day. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Ambassador Michael Oren and to Brandon Arnold. Two really newsy discussions. Keep an eye on Just the News. We got a lot of breaking news we're keeping an eye on for you. And by all means, have a great day. God bless you. God bless this extraordinary country of the United States. And thank you for listening to John Solomon Reports, the podcast from justthenews.com. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 Gold. Or visit them at GenesisGoldGroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.